Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my guest is Sandra Mendelson, and she is the author of We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World. The animal kingdom finally shares its truth with humanity because enough of us are willing to listen. In We Walk Beside You, we step inside the breathtaking world of animal consciousness to encounter the inner lives and voices of animals. Communicating through the vehicle of telepathy from one mind to another, members of the animal kingdom step forward to reveal what they want humans to finally know. Sandra Mendelson is a channel of animal consciousness who shares messages from the animal kingdom for the benefit of humans. Her role in facilitating deeper understanding between humans and non-humans evolved from her work in health and healing as a certified polychromatic light therapist, an equine photopuncture therapist, and health coach. For more information, you can visit her website, which is www.smendelson.com, and that's S-M-E-N-D-E-L-S-O-N.com. And I do have a direct link to Sandra's website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Sandra to the show. Good day, Sandra.
Good day. It's great to be here. I apologize for all of the long-winded career titles.
No, not at all. No, I'm sure you worked very hard for each and every one of those.
but that's it, the harder you work, the more letters you get.
At some point.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's good. No, because I really wanted to understand what some of them are, too, because I've just not heard of them. So I'm really looking forward to today. So I enjoyed reading the book. I mean, it was just very enlightening. I'm very much a nature lover, mostly I kind of just, appreciate and, take in nature. Though I have not had much in the area of animal communication, but after reading your book, I'm going to really look at things differently. So.
Well, you can experiment with the squirrels. We'll talk about the squirrel experiment later.
Okay, good, exactly. Yeah, because I noticed in Squirrel Talk, Monty, you had some particular information, so I'm going to talk about that. But let's just first start with, would you mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about your journey in regard to the area of animal communication?
Well, you know what? I'm hoping this is inspiring in a little bit of a way, since people think, you have to know from the time you're a child and practice it and be hearing and chatting with animals like a little mini Dr. Doolittle, or else you don't have it. Wrong. I guess okay. 2 points. First of all, every human has an innate ability to connect with all life and receive messages from animals, plants, spirit. I mean, the issue is we go to school as little children, go right into the life of the mind, and we don't develop these abilities. And the second part of that is I may hear, I think the animals really came through and I heard it, as if it were language so that it could be shared with others. But people all over the world, are writing to me and sharing how they get that sense of instant knowing, or they'll see an image, my dog has a stomach ache, or they'll feel something in their own body. So these are innate sixth sensory abilities that the animals are actually saying, hey, tap into that. It's there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it is encouraging to realize we don't have to be a Dr. Doolittle, you know, but and that we can, you know, develop that, you know, starting today, you know, right now if
exactly.
People want.
It didn't happen for me until 5 years ago. So, you know, decades. Do I have to say it's in the book?
That's 52. I know this. I know it's the age, but that was okay. So
it's
yeah.
a number.
It's just a number, right?
Yeah.
So, an author's biggest challenges sometimes when writing the book is to select the title of their book. So, why did you select the title "We Walk Beside You"?
What a great question. The title came before the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when the first couple of horses came through with messages that absolutely spun my understanding about consciousness and awareness and animals versus humans on its ear, even before I even began writing the book, I heard "We Walk Beside You" in my head, and I went, "That's it." And 5 years later, when it was time, when I had enough to write a book, the title fortunately was already there. But my history is I've never been able to even title a term paper, ever. I can't create a short. You are so right that the titles are a nightmare, and I don't know how to do it, so that was not me.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, you know, that you gave credit where credit was due. So, you know, that's just one of those things. And it's interesting, over the 7 years I've done the show, I've talked to hundreds of authors, and many times they've had an experience similar to yours, where, you know, where the title is just kind of given to them mm-hmm. through the intuitive sense. And now, in addition to your book, you created a set of companion message cards. So can you talk a little bit about those cards?
Sure. I mean, I found myself sticking Post-its all over my apartment until it looked like a paper factory blew up, because there were these beautiful one-liners from certain animals that I just wanted to put into my being. You know, I wanted to put them into action, and I didn't want them to get lost. You know, and we humans think in sound bites anyway. We need things right in front of our noses sometimes, and short and sweet. So I said, you know what? Make a deck of cards. Why not?
Okay.
So that people can pull a daily phrase or a weekly phrase, just whatever resonates. And people have been writing to me and saying, I'm using them as oracle cards because I'm getting just the message that I need for the day or whatever's up for me. So that's fun.
Yeah. Well, as it happens, I when I read exactly, you know, kind of the reason that you put it together, I shuffled the deck and I thought, okay, so what is going to be the message for the show, for today's show, and to share. And it happened to be one from Kodak, the horse, and the message was, take time to sit every day and hold the vision of what you want to happen for yourself and the world. Stop overthinking. The way to your answers is through stillness. And I thought that was a very profound kind of thought, you know, from Kodak to share for today's show.
Oh, well, you know, I'm glad you feel the same way I do, because the animals repeatedly, especially the horses, kept saying, you know, slow down and start using your mind to manifest. I mean, this is not unique to the human world that we have been, if you read any spiritual books, you know, about mm-hmm. how powerful the mind is to create reality. And the animals keep saying this, something you've probably heard before. You don't see it because you don't believe it. So that is a good example. They keep saying every day, stop running from task to task, most of which are unimportant. You know, use your mind to create what you want to start seeing.
Yeah. So when I pulled that card, I thought, okay, I'm going to take Kodak's advice. And I actually kind of just sat down in a little grassy area near the house. And I thought, okay, this is it. I'm going to just, you know, spend that some time. And you know, it seems that I believe in one of the stories in the book, there was was it you or someone who, when working with one of the horses, had that very much the that there was a need to sit and be still, and that they sat outside the mm-hmm. stall area, and then mm-hmm. the horse kind of finally came up. Was that you that did that, or?
That was me. That was the very yeah. first horse, and I'm happy to say they're all very much still alive. I keep checking in on them and saying, "Oh my gosh, thank you!" But that was the first horse that said, "You know, where I sat down, and he was showing me things that animals do, and I had no idea of." And I put my hands out as if to meditate, and it was like somebody just electrified them. I mean, not like I had experience with my one Reiki level, but. Mm-hmm. He said, "You feel that? I sent that to you. This is what we do. We heal with our bodies and talk with our minds."
Wow.
And that
I thought mm-hmm. that was real interesting. Yeah, and then, like I said, when I pulled the card, my mind flashed back to that particular story. And you know, it was one of those, so I just kind of sat there. Now, there wasn't really any particular animal nearby kind of, you know, ready to spill the beans with me, but that's okay. And actually, the place I sit near the house has a little lake area, and very often, right now it's a little too cool, but very often there are alligators. I'm in South Carolina. There are alligators in there. And I just, whenever they're in the water, I just kind of sit there or stand and just watch them. I mean, and they're just amazing creatures. And you know, and I just get that sense of power, you know, and that primitive survival kind of energy from them, and it kind of translates. I mean, it makes me feel energized when I'm sitting there and watching that.
Yeah, you know, I was able to communicate with a bunch of different species, but there's so much more. I mean, I'd love to spend more time with alligators since I only got one comment. And then on the news, when we had a cold snap here in Florida, they showed how their body temperature drops. They almost go into, you know, a hibernation of sorts. They're very much alive, but they don't move, and they're like ensconced in ice. You know, when we had frozen temperatures here, and I thought, wow, how incredibly well adapted they are. You know, so there's so much. There's so much in there about that answers people's questions if they read slowly enough. The animals have shared, you know, some of their ethics, their own, you know, understandings of life and death, and how to go with the flow instead of trying to control things like we humans do all the time. I mean, there's really a lot in there, but they've been telling me there's a lot more to come. So I need to, as you would say, sit down and get quiet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I want to talk more about the book, but before I get into that, I really am curious about the polychromatic light therapy and the equine photopuncture. I'm a therapist. In your book, you talk about the horses using the photopuncture therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But would you mind sharing with the listeners? Because, you know, the idea of light therapy, I think, is just in its beginning stages right now. I mean, it seems, you know, that we're learning more and more about it. And I would really love, if you wouldn't mind sharing, just your experience with that.
Oh, I would love to, because if you think about ancient wisdom, you know, combining with modern technology, that's what you're talking about here. The ancient Egyptians used sunlight channeled through various gemstones to heal the organs of the body. So this is not new. Similarly, that's, you know, referring to light therapy. And then in reference to photopuncture, think of acupuncture, but with light tools instead of needles. So you're using a machine that delivers red and infrared light. You know, red goes to a certain depth, skin and muscle, and infrared goes into the dense stuff like bone and cartilage, disc and teeth. And by applying the light to acupuncture points, you are stimulating the body to heal itself the way acupuncture does, because the light travels through the meridians. And you can also put the light on the tissues itself to increase healing and circulation. So without getting way too techie, there's like over 5,000 studies now about how, just talking about humans right now, how we are using polychromatic light therapy devices. That was my other life. It still kind of exists. For brain health, I could go on and on about how it increases circulation and how it spurs the body to regenerate by increasing the gasoline in the cells called ATP. But the bottom line is the body readily accepts this stuff because there's certain wavelengths of light that have been proven to be safe and really healing for the body. You know, on the one end, you got radio waves that are harmless, and on the other end, you have, X-rays that start to do harm to the cells. But in the center of the bandwidth are these red and infrared wavelengths that have been proven to be really healing for the human body and the animal body.
Yeah, you know, to me, it seems that it is so, it is such a much safer application of therapy than some of the processes used now that can be, invasive and in some cases toxic,
Absolutely.
Trying to knock out one thing versus another.
It is fascinating to see what the human body can do when given the right tool. And those people that are open to it have had the most incredible results. I mean, most people come to these kinds of machines for, and by the way, they are class 2 medical devices, which means they're for at-home use. They're not sold, on the mass market, at least the ones that I work with. Because, you want somebody that knows what they're doing, that's certified to introduce you to, a way that you will address your own health. And that's my dog in the other room.
I would expect nothing less. You've got to add his comments or her comments, too.
No, my bad. Normally he's in here for, little phone chat. So if we take a break, please, everybody, apologize. I'm apologizing.
That's
I'm going
right.
to go get him.
Really, Sandra, I mean, it is very fitting for the show. I mean, truly.
No facade here.
That's great. Now, didn't I read one of the stories where you were utilizing that process and the horse was kind of responded in the sense that it only worked because we thought that it worked, or something to that effect?
Yes, humbling, so humbling. Yeah. and again, there are people that are breathtaking at body work, and it turned out to be a stepping stone for me. Like, it didn't mean I couldn't do it, but clearly, there was more that I was, something different that I was supposed to do. So, this horse, the same horse, Emelian, that I quoted before, said to me, why do you waste your time with all these machines? Why don't you just run energy? The horses are waiting for you. And I'm like, oh, great. Now another career change. more Reiki, more energy work. And, you're either called to something or you're not. But it's fascinating how the animals get right to the point, which is when we believe. Back to the power of the human mind. No matter what it is that we truly, truly believe in, what a shock that it tends to mostly work.
Yeah. And earlier you mentioned that, if we are open to it, that particular kind of therapy. And, it reminds me of, the idea of someone who is intuitive trying to connect with, someone in spirit. Some people have that natural gift and it's just, it's just they can just sit down and do it and boom, there it is. Some people use tools like tarot cards or pendulums. They use different tools to achieve that. And to me, it seems very much that, that type of machinery, it's very much like a tool,
It's a great analogy. That is a wonderful analogy. I'm glad you said that because I feel that sometimes people negate what they can do and they don't even try because they don't get immediately downloaded, like a medium talks to spirit on the other side. But then you know what? When you start talking to people, they've had experiences where, a cup with lipstick showed up out of nowhere, and that was grandma because nobody in the house wears lipstick now. Do you know what I mean? We negate we negate our connections with animals and with spirit if it isn't, you know, top dollar in our book, you know, perfect. And
right.
And I hope yeah. people can turn that around and stop being so hard
yeah,
on people.
You know, and I think, you know, and I just think that for some people, having a tool or something visual, you know, as a an assist for them, it kind of makes it more real. You know, I mean, some people just mm-hmm. have maybe a little squeamish or a little skepticism, you know, regarding just that immediate connection. Or you know, in the case of the light therapy, you know, someone who, you know, just doing energy work, you know, without something to facilitate that work, for some people, it's
yeah.
a stretch. But I think, you know, that, you know, both ways are perfect, you know, in the sense of knowing mm-hmm. your subject, what your subject would be willing to accept and to open
exactly.
up to.
Exactly. And people love science. So they love, okay, there's all these studies that prove this is what light does, and they've done all these double-blind studies, and this is how it improved this condition and that condition, and so humans feel comfortable with that. And I think you're absolutely right. There's stuff now at every level based on where we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's...
So now...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now, regarding... you know, the role of species. Is there, throughout your communication, have you found, and I know there will be, you know, variants, of course, but I mean, in general, is there like a different role or purpose for a different species, like horses, dogs, birds, or even insects?
Great question. And again, I'm always prefacing what I say by the fact that the animals have let me know you have only seen the tip of the iceberg, because it would be too much for us humans to get our arms around. You know, there's going to be, they want me to reveal this stuff, and they are only going to give it to me in installments, you know, like bit by bit. So I have been able to draw a few conclusions from, some direct statements from the animals. For example, I had a tiger tell me that animals get their energy in different ways, that birds are mercurial. They actually get their energy from transmitting information that others act upon. That is their role. They are the communicators in the animal kingdom. Animals get their information in other ways, such as the web of life and through the thought stream. I mean, there's much more going on. Thank you, squirrels, for elucidating that. And, you know, I get the, you know, the purpose. You know, we humans want to sum everything up in one sentence. You know, what is the purpose of a lion? But back to the, you know, the energy, just to go mercurial for the birds, grounded animals, the tiger told me, animals that roam the plains, elephants, tigers, bears, get their energy from an energetic cord that goes from navel into earth. That's what they told me. And horses are ethereal and travel at night. And that supported what I heard 5 years ago when that very first horse or second horse said to me, horses are sending energy to humans all the time. And I was thinking, how did they get the energy? And they said, we leave our bodies to connect with all that is, because our frequency gets lower being in a body. So that would explain the ethereal nature and why people are having such amazing spiritual experiences, if you will, with their horses. They really are very ethereal creatures. But to answer your question about purpose, you know, I'm still getting more information that animals understand that their life and the circumstances in it are configured to support the growth of the soul. So they know their purpose is as part of everything, their importance. They don't ever question, even as part of the life and death cycle. Does that make any sense? Does that sort of?
No, it does. Yeah. No, it does.
I want to answer the question if I can.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, one of the things that I got from reading the book is that sometimes we question too much. I mean, in the sense of that, you know, every time we question, we're always trying to find an answer to something rather than just let it be, you know, and just, you know, accept what is rather than try and frame it or, you know, put it in a box.
You know, I'm loving this conversation because I have to tell you, even when people come to me for readings, and if the animal happens to be an old soul, they really don't sweat the details. They don't complain on and on and on. You know, they seem to see the bigger picture. They're more vocal about why they connected with their human, how they found their human, how they were together in the past. And then the human will say to me, well, you know, I was hoping for more. Like, you know, my daughter had to move. How does he feel about them getting a dog and the boyfriend? And I'm just like, you know.
Right.
We humans want to know, you know, yes, there are some animals that will go on because they're at a lower vibration. They're more like us, you know, sweating the details. But, yeah, I think you get it.
Well, yeah, I do. You know, and that was too was something that I, you know, got from the book is the, you know, the idea of just – as in the human experience, in the animal experience, there are different levels of vibration, you know, and experience. And I thought, you know, I thought it was interesting, you know, and I kind of it kind of made me chuckle because in the morning every day I do a little like walk, you know, I walk a few miles, my little Nature Connect and all that kind of thing, and I live in a gated neighborhood and everybody's out walking their dogs, and generally speaking, you know, they're you know, when the dogs come by, they just look, or you know, they just kind of sometimes ignore me, sometimes they're friendly, but there's like one dog, absolutely one dog, every single time it just goes crazy barking, and it's like it had something against me, you know what I mean? I just kind of laughed. It's like, you know, why are you doing that? And then of course, you know, I would, you know, trying to do my little animal communication, trying to send a thought, like, listen, hey, I'm friendly, you know, you're cute, you know, don't bark at me, you know. But it was weird, you know, and as I was reading the book, when I hit that part about the vibration, I was thinking, you know, maybe this particular one is just a little bit lower in the vibration, and there's something that's threatening.
That is perfect. Then you know what? That is like the overriding principle. I think if I had to say that above everything, because I've asked, you know, when I talked with a lion more than once, and I was saying, well, what about taking the high road and, you know, for the good of all? And you know, the animals have said it is an individual thing. Like my dog said, when you see a dog that barks and barks and barks, and there's nothing you can do about it, you just have to accept them where they're at. They are where they're at on their path. So you will find very evolved animals that, like my dog, handles everything. So he just came in, and I just said, hey, T, would you come in? And he knows what I'm doing, and he just came in to the office and laid down at my feet so that he wouldn't bark anymore because he knew that was disrupting my conversation. That's a really old soul. I never trained him to do anything. And then you get the ones that really just react, just like us. I hope people will hold on to that concept because they're like, well, wait a minute. You know, I had two Dobermans before, and they lived till 16. Why did this one die at 11? Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and in that section on the lion, you know, about that was regarding being evolved, you know, and it's kind of like the idea of evolution or being evolved isn't, you know, it's like, what is that really? You know, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're surrounded by, you know, self-help and all of the enlightenment enriching kinds of, you know, discussion, you know, and becoming evolved, and it's like, you know, really, what is that all about? And I just, anyway, I liked the lion's perspective, you know. It's like,
well, his perspective was very different than the horse's. So remember, okay, look at, you know, lions are carnivores, they are predators, and horses, I know you could say they're predators because they eat grass and you can't hear the grass screaming, but I'm not going to go there. I mean, really, we could really dissect this like humans, but I'd rather not. So
right.
we still have to, you know, honor the way that their body, the needs of the body, because to them it is not a reflection on the soul, but it's, you know, as the lion said to me, you know, power is not unevolved. And then when I said, but what about taking the high road, you know, kindness, you know, that what is highest and best for all, and that's when he said, I have to say it's an individual thing. So when you see those videos on Facebook about a non-female nursing animal, so a male animal caring, like a lion caring for a baby deer, that mm-hmm. is a situation of a of an older soul. You know, that is a choice that that lion made. Not every lion is going to do that. So people, you know, will come at me and say, you know, they're having a hard time digesting all this high soul behavior with what they see with their eyeballs that's caught on film that we've been taught to believe is all instinct. And it's a mixture. There's the needs of the body, and then there's the level that that soul is at. Do you know what I mean? The ones that mm-hmm. came forward had messages for us. They wanted us to know, obviously, the higher souls, for the most part, came through because we don't know that that awareness exists. We see right. an animal fight and we think it's always over a female. And more, you know, what the lion said to me is, you know, you're making assumptions. It's not always over. It's not always about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was interesting, the explanation of when a male lion, you know, fights and kills another and takes over the pride and kills the cubs, and the comment about the, you know, it's more about breaking the lineage and that adoption. It wasn't in there, you know, wasn't part of the picture. And I thought, huh, now that's interesting. And, you know, and yet, you know, I'm sure there are some that may not necessarily be true. That I'm sure,
there
I would venture to guess
exactly.
that there are exceptions to that rule.
Right, and people want everything to be so neat and clean. It's not. There's such depth in the animal world and as much variety as we have here. I mean, I had a squirrel come through 2 weeks ago, starting off like this. I fly through the air with the greatest of ease. I said, what, the daring young man, no flying trapeze? He's like, don't need one. And he goes on to tell me how he pushes himself higher and higher and others fall to their deaths, but not him. You know, and I said, wow, do you go by a name? He said, I'm fond of Peter the Magnificent, but you can call me Pete. And I said, do you have fans? He goes, I have some, but not like in the human world, no TV here. And his whole point was, there are super athletes in the animal world, and that they can't dawdle because they still have to care for their families and find their own food, and that we just have to be aware that they are more like us than we think. Now, I don't, you know, there's. I hope this goes on for the rest of my life because I'm getting so much amazing stuff.
Well, I mean, it is very much Dr. Doolittle aspect when you think about it. You know, when you look back at the, you know, the that, I mean, this is, but this is more, I mean, that was kind of silly, you know, in a way, but, you know, but there was like so much truth to be told in that.
Well, you know, people ask me, well, what's the difference between channeling? You call yourself a channel of animal consciousness. What's the difference between that and animal communication? Since there's not too many people out there in the world getting these messages, you know, we play with terminology until something mm-hmm. sticks. And at least, you know, from my perspective, animal communication is something that, you know, it's initiated by the human. Usually we, you know, it's a back and forth. More often than not, we're trying to solve a problem for someone. But the channeling is when, unprovoked by you, with no question in your mind at all of a sudden it's like, boom, download. And the stuff comes out, in my case, from pen to paper, you know, from animals all over the world with messages to communicate to humanity. So to me, that's channeling. You know what I mean? Because it's not anything I provoked in any way or initiated.
Great distinction. Well, we're about halfway through the show, Sandra, so I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359, and for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions for Sandra, please feel free to type them in. And then when we come back, Sandra, you touched on Pete. when we come back, I wanted to find out how all of these animals got their names. I mean, there's some, you know, interesting things there. So we're going to talk about that when we come back, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Sandra Mendelson, and we're talking about her new book, We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World. Also, she has an accompanying deck of cards, the Animal Message cards. Again, you can find out more about all of this by visiting her website, which is www.smendelson.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, with that, we're back. Sandra?
Hello, I'm here.
Hello, okay. Now, this is interesting. Actually, I was going to mention one question from Tamara, but she has another one here that is, this, I really like this one. She says, I have hummingbirds in my yard and around me quite often and year-round. What messages or information do you have? Anything specific about hummingbirds?
Well, you know, right now I wish my arms were about 50 feet longer because I could get off the phone and grab this book, which is an animal symbol book that people would just love having. Because when animals really, in the wild, make a showing in your life, there are real messages for you. You know, like at the snake show, which had happened to me the night before a cataclysmic trip that opened me up to this, there was a milk snake right on my doorstep. And then, you know, a few weeks later, there was a frog. I mean, everything kept showing up on my doorstep. So as far as the hummingbird, I don't have it committed to memory,
okay.
Forgive me. But, yeah, I'm trying to Ted Andrews is one author that made a beautiful book about that.
Well, that's it. And the only thing, because I love hummingbirds too, and I've got several wonderful photos that I've been able to take of hummingbirds. But to me, they symbolize, you know, the fact that their wings are flapping so fast that you can't see them, you know, and that they basically float. I mean, so in a sense, it was kind of like we're going so fast that I'm still. You know what I mean?
Oh.
And it was, you know, and every time I see that, that's just the sense that I get that, you know, there's this, it's kind of like a magical, you know, sometimes when you see on television, you know, like wheels turning so fast, it looks like they're, you know, you can see the spokes, but if you slow it down a little bit, you can see that they're really traveling super fast. So anyway, that was just the image that it conjures in me. And you know, to me, it's the appearance of stillness that captures me.
And so, you know what else? If you kind of look at, you know, the Ted Andrews kind of stuff, that hummingbirds symbolize the enjoyment of life and the lightness of being and the enjoyment of the present moment, which clearly they're doing for her, right? Because they stop you from thinking and you're just in your state of wonder that these beautiful creatures are around you. So, you know, that's just at blush, enjoying the sweetness of life.
Absolutely. There you go. And I know her, and I mean, from our Facebook and social media connections, and she truly is one that enjoys life. So so that's very fitting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now in the book, all of the animals have names. So,
well, some do. Some do. Yeah.
So how does that happen? I mean, you know, obviously you know, we're given a name or we later on choose something. But in the animal communication aspect, how does that happen?
This is what they told me. Obviously, if they were given a name by humans, they go by that name, even if they're on the other side. In the case of, so horses have all been named by people. Squirrels, however, being as close to the human condition as they are and listening to our thoughts, what they have told me is, you wonder why I have a name. It's because I heard it once and I liked it, so I kept it. And so there was, you know, they showed up with names. So there was Max, and was Brian picked his name while I interacted with him. And let's see, Max and his partner Sylvie. And then I chatted with another squirrel and I said, what's your name? He goes, Hamlet. Everyone knows Hamlet. And then later on, he said, you know, my name really isn't Hamlet. I made it up because I heard you like that sort of stuff. So he didn't really claim a human name. But I said, well, what should I call you? He goes, A.B. It's simple. You can remember it.
How funny. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it, you know, names do have a vibration. I mean, really. And, you know, that's the one thing. And you know, when it comes to squirrels, you know, you kind of mentioned them, they're kind of close to the human condition. You said something in the beginning of the show about maybe something that the listeners can do to an exercise with squirrels. I'd love to share that right now if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely, because, you know, it's easy for me to say animals, you know, scientists know that animals communicate nonverbally, but they don't necessarily know that what they have told me, which is they communicate through the thought stream. So, and that's how they communicated with me. So this is how you can test to see if an animal is really hearing your thoughts. If you're in your travels and the squirrel doesn't immediately run away, and they do that with good reason, because they hear our thoughts, and they all. But if there's one that is relatively close to you and is paying attention, slow down. Please don't have earbuds in, because that interferes with all kinds of stuff. And with your mind, not your mouth, say good morning or good day. It is lovely to see you here. I hope you have a wonderful day. And when I started doing that, I was amazed that those squirrels just stop in their tracks and hang off the tree or wherever they are, staring at you incredulously. And they do it to this day because they're like, you heard me? I'm like, yes, I heard you. So people need to see that for themselves, to see that and that animals really do hear your thoughts. But I implore you to slow down. You know, I mean, if your mind is racing and you're thinking of the past and you're thinking of the future, you've excluded the animals. You are not meeting them in the present moment, which is where they live. You've kicked them out. So it does take a little bit of practice, perhaps, to be, you know, right where you are, sort of calm, and then not expecting an immediate result in 2 seconds.
Right.
Patience is underrated.
Well, you know, I've had really kind of two experiences with that. The first one, the dog, like I told you, and that one wasn't very successful. But I did have one example that kind of took me by surprise and it kind of, you know, made me giggle. And on my walk one day, there was a real pretty butterfly. And, you know, and it was like fluttering around, and I was kind of following it. I really wanted to get a picture of this butterfly. It was a monarch butterfly, and it was kind of first I saw of the season. And So anyway, it just kept going and going, and then finally it stopped in one spot, and I get the camera out and start to focus, and then it flies away. So anyway, it did that, and I'm sure that the people that were walking by and driving by were thinking, "What? You know, this guy's nuts." But I finally thought, "Wait a minute." So I did that. I kind of stopped in the moment, and I kind of sent out the thought to him. I said, "Listen, I really would like to take your picture. I share pictures on Facebook with lots of people can see, but you really keep fluttering around. So if you can find a spot and just wait for me to take your picture, that would be really great." And it did. I mean, truly. I mean, it stopped on this, on this clover, that was kind of just, blooming. And like I was able to, I zoomed in from a distance to take a picture. So, real quick. So, before it flew away and then fine. And then as I got closer, it stayed there. And it was like this.
Because you asked permission. Good for you.
Yeah. I thought it was
beautiful.
Kind of fun. And I was able to get real close to it, and when I was done, I said thank you. I really appreciate that, and there are a lot of people around the world that are going to see your picture today. So anyway, that was a success.
Respect goes a long way. That is a success because you changed the paradigm. You asked permission. I once had to take a picture from my nephew for a science project, and the only animal around at the time was an earthworm. And I snapped the picture, and it went crazy. Flipping, it was like miserable. And I immediately went, oh, my gosh, what did I do? I violated that animal's rights. And it's not for people to obsess. This is years ago. I never expected that kind of a reaction. But when you change things the way you did and you asked permission, you've now treated them with respect. And you, as you said, that's a perfect example of how you get a really different response from something as simple as that.
Yeah. So from that day forward, I, have changed my approach, So, I've had great success with birds and butterflies. I mean, one of my friends in California calls me a bird whisperer because, the birds truly just pose for me, and I've gotten some great photos of hawks and egrets and all those kinds of things around here. So,
well, the other part is that they are energetic beings, so think about this. They get their information so many ways. So what do they know about you? They hear your thoughts, and they know your intention. They also feel your energy field. You are an admirer. You respect them. You want to capture their images to share their beauty and magnificence. And they are coming forward for you because your intention is pure, and they're ahead of you because they know that.
Yeah.
That is how they read each other's. Yeah, it's like, wow, okay. Yeah. That's why some, people say, I don't understand why my dog can't stand so-and-so. She's such a nice person. Because the dog knows what the human is really thinking on the inside and feels their energy.
Right.
And if it's incongruent and it's phony, they know the truth. So that's how you know how you're showing
much.
Up. The animals will show up for you.
Yeah, exactly. In your book, there's a chapter called The Animal Agenda, Helping Us Survive Being Human. Now, that's an interesting perspective, a different perspective on the relationship between animals and humans. So can you tell us just a little bit about that, the idea of, helping us survive. And for some people would agree that being human is a real tough role. But can you talk a little bit about that, the idea of helping us survive being human?
Absolutely. Animals have not limited themselves to the life of the mind the way we humans have. And our highly developed minds also create and store very faulty beliefs that tell us lies about who we are. As a kangaroo said to me, these lies cripple you with pain, label you, and pigeonhole you. This may be the root of all suffering. Non-humans have remained connected to all of life. And not only that, can you imagine never having to look in the mirror once your whole life? Picking yourself apart, let alone the extra time I would have. Let's not go there. So they have a lot of compassion for how we humans pick at ourselves, how we grind over, you know, animals make a mistake, whoops, and then they view them, I've heard this from many species, they view themselves through the eyes of love so they can move forward. And we continue to beat up on ourselves if our house isn't clean, if we said the wrong thing, if we forgot something, and the list goes on. So the reason that, you know, I gave them the floor, and after they corrected some misconceptions we have. And
Well,
to make a very long story short, they drove the bus on this, and they wanted to keep coming through with advice, if you will, on how we humans can have an easier go of life, how we can enjoy it more, move through negative emotions, know when we're in an unfitting situation by paying attention to the signals our body's giving us, like if our thoughts become jumbled or our words get thick and labored or we feel a constriction, you know, stop and say, where, you know, who am I talking to? What am I doing right now? Because my body is so wise and it's telling me I'm in an unfit situation. So, you know, helping us, the other, now you could also say, okay, the animals are kind of smart here because they know that if humans are kinder to themselves, as a blue whale said, by extension, it will be easier for us to do the same for our world. So the happier we are and the more we care for ourselves, the more we can easily care for others and the planet and the animals and all life upon it. Because we value life. Even a squirrel said, you know, pride is not a bad thing. It just gets a bad rap. People who take pride in their bodies, in their homes, in their belongings, in their community, in their environment, don't pollute and destroy them. Just this one concept, if you could put it into practice, would change life as you know it. Think about it.
Yeah, that is very much a different perspective. One of the things, in one of the stories in the book, there was a, I believe it was a horse who was able, who communicated about an illness in their female, their mother. I mean, the you know, the owner, the mother of the owner, I mean, communicate an illness, you know, and my question is that, you know, with the, you know, more recent revelation about, you know, certain dogs being able to identify cancer in someone, is, do you feel that we are getting to a point where, in a way, the animals are showing us that... That illness in the human body carries with it some kind of, you know, energy that can be picked up, you know, by picked up and actually, you know, identified in a way by animals. So, I mean, it's one of the things that communication between the animal recognition about human illness.
Well, here is what I have been taught, this part not by the animals. You know, everything is energy, as we know, and I may be getting my hertz a little bit off, but if the brain is normally around 80 or 82 hertz, and if you get a cold, you drop, your body drops to 65 hertz. Again, don't quote me on this. Cancer begins at 40 hertz and death begins at 20 hertz. So think about that. You know, your normal hertz, your normal energy drops in half where you have cancer. And animals are such energetic beings, they can tell the difference, you know, when there's a huge energy drop. Is there an olfactory quality to cancer? I don't know because, you know, my dog even said, you know, we keep thinking if a dog is picking up something through its nose, is it just an olfactory thing? And he said, you know, we read the messages in the energy of the urine. Okay. So, yeah. So it's an energetic perception, you know, as well as it may be an olfactory one. Again, I'm not, don't
right.
quote me to the word.
Well, no,
like,
yeah,
conceptually,
no, that makes
yeah.
sense, you know, that, I mean, you know, that energetic, you know, and, you know, if the connection to all that is stronger in the sense that, you know, there is much less noise and baggage, you know, that we humans kind of bring into that particular kind of connection, that it makes sense then that there's they can pick it up easier, you know, and then it's just a matter of being able to communicate it with, you know, a human who can mm-hmm. understand that particular communication.
Well, you know, it, well put. And it's, I have hope for all of us that we will reclaim what we have lost, because animals read your energy field. I mean, I've had several animals come through and explain to me how they knew who, including my dog, how they knew who their person was and how they found that person.
Mm.
And they said, all that you, this is not from my dogs, from a cat, all that you have ever loved remains a part of you. It shines in your energy field and it carries forth through time. So they can recognize it, and they say it's like a bell calling them home. I mean, it's so beautiful. And again, how
wow.
do they find you? I mean, they tap. Okay, I'm still getting the story, you know, piece by piece. But it's all everything
right.
is the whole energy story. How, you know, how dogs know when their owners are coming home. Thank you for that book, Rupert Sheldrake in 1999. They tap
right.
into your energy field. It's called telepathic communication. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff.
Wow. You know, Sandra, we're down to the last few minutes. I mean, this hour has just flown by, and I've loved every minute of it. but before we close, for those listening who might want to strengthen their ability to, you know, their interspecies communication ability,
mm-hmm.
do you have any suggestions of where they may want to start?
Absolutely. I have an article that I posted on my website under interviews and articles about how to start connecting with animals, because they're, you know, they're important practices to start putting into place, like it's stilling the crazy noise between your left ear and your right ear, and certain grounding exercises to do, and, you know, I give details, but they can also feel free to contact me. Because I know a woman who is a brilliant animal communicator that teaches classes for people that really want to take it to the next level, and I'm more than happy to refer them.
Well, great. Well, thank you for your time today, Sandra. I really appreciate it. And again, you have kind of changed my nature walks completely. I'm going to be looking at the animals differently, and there are plenty of squirrels, so there's going to be some listening and chatting going on. I see in my near future. So thank
well,
you for your time today.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say one last thing. Remember, two things. Animals know your intention. There's no such thing as a private thought. So every person that loves them and, you know, sends them good thoughts and thinks lovingly of them, it's not a secret, and that's why they haven't given up on us. And the other thing is, my next book is already being written, because people are sending me their wonderful personal stories about incredible connections with animals, either in form or on the other side. Pictures, words, the whole thing. So if anybody, any of your listeners have had an extraordinary kind of a situation with an animal, learning, growing, finding out about themselves, then please reach out to me. My website is smendelson.com, and I welcome your feedback and your stories.
Great, and keep me in mind when that is published, because I want round two for sure. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Sandra Mendelson, and we've been talking about her book, We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World, along with the accompanying animal message cards that you can get. Again, as she mentioned, you can contact Sandra or read more about her work by visiting her website, www.smendelson.com. That's S-M-E-N-D-E-L-S-O-N.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.